Good morning. Welcome to the community of St. Thomas More. Today we celebrate the third Sunday of Lent, and we are led in worship by our associate pastor, Father R.J. Fichtinger. Please rise and join in singing our opening song, Amazing Grace.
My friends, let us continue our worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Well, thank you for showing up and being here in these uncertain times. We are grateful for your presence. As these uncertain times call us to turn towards God, we are mindful of the ways in which we need to grow in our pardon, in our peace. And so as we prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, we pray. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. And let us pray. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that these chosen ones may come worthily and wisely to the confession of your praise, so that in accordance with the first dignity which they lost by original sin, they may be fashioned anew through your glory. We ask this to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And please be seated and attentive to the Word of God. We will not be having children to the Liturgy of the Word today, as we're practicing social distancing and we don't have the space downstairs.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more, and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand, as you go, the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God's voice, God and God.
God your heart, as on that day in the desert, when your parents put me to the test. If today you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. If today you hear God's voice, harden not your heart.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because of the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand because salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." He said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
So, as many of you may or may not know at this point, I've become a bit of a runner. This wasn't always true. I actually didn't think I would ever become a runner, despite, kind of enjoying it. And part of that has to do with the first time I had ever run a marathon. I ran a marathon in 2007, and I did everything wrong that you could do in preparing for a marathon. I didn't do the final long run. I didn't plan my water break, so I didn't train with them. I didn't sort of have a sense of how to hydrate, right? And hydration on a long run like the marathon is really important. It's crucial. But in fact, it begins long before you're ever actually on the race course drinking water and getting the water stops. You have to hydrate actually a couple days before you actually run the race, right? So, one rule of thumb I've heard is if your race is on Sunday, you should really start hydrating about Thursday or Friday, right? There's a lot of work that goes into hydration. But it's one of those things that's sort of unseen, right? That the fact if I start preparing on Thursday or Friday by drinking a lot of water isn't something that I see immediately, right? There isn't an effect that I know that this is, unlike running for a long time, there's a certain sense in which I know that this is building towards my ultimate goal of running a marathon, but drinking water doesn't seem to sort of stand out all that much. And in today's first reading with Moses and the people of Israel, it's sort of a similar moment, right? The people of Israel have already seen Moses hold out his hands and stretch them out forth and see the sea part, right? I mean, it's a fantastic moment, so large that, in order for him to hold, continue to hold the sea apart, people have to come and hold his arms up, right? It's magnificent. It's sort of epic in a lot of ways. But in today, the people of Israel have sort of forgotten that they're in the desert. Because they're kind of thirsty, and they're like, "Well, geez, why are we thirsty?" It's like, "Well, you're in the desert. That's what deserts do." And as they're sort of whining and complaining, even Moses is like, "Hey, God, if we don't do something, they're going to start getting a little upset here," right? He's worried about being stoned. He's worried about, them rising up against him. And what I love is that God not only provides a miracle, but he provides sort of an impetus for how all things are done, right? He asks Moses to participate in this process. But the interesting thing is it isn't like holding the staff again. He doesn't sort of move the staff and suddenly water gushes forth from the ground. It's actually a lot simpler than that. You can almost imagine that if you were in the back of this massive crowd of thirsty people, and all of a sudden Moses just went up to a rock and went, tap. You know, if you weren't back, you wouldn't even know what he was doing, right? You're kind of like, what's he doing up there? I mean, they seem to be happy because they're all kind of like, oh, I think there's water now, right? Like, you'd almost miss it in how simple it was. It's such a small moment, such an immaterial thing. I'm kind of reminded, actually, of my own appreciation of this, you know, the COVID-19 virus and disease as it has morphed, because a week ago, I was upset. Man, we're going to stop doing the sign of peace. We're not going to hand, you know, we're not going to distribute communion via the cup. We're, you know, all of these things. And I was kind of getting in arms because, one, my love language is physical touch, right? Like, I high-five everybody. I'm, you know, this is how I enact, you know, engage the world. And you're suddenly removing all of that. And then the fact of the matter is, like, well, it's not that bad, right? And I feel fine. Like, I don't need to worry about that. I'm a young person. But in the reality, I think some of the same simple and small details that we're being invited to in our response to this virus is what Moses was being asked to do, just a small tap on the rock. And that means that we might face some inconveniences for a while. And as we know, if you followed the news this morning, the governor has closed schools as of this morning, beginning Wednesday through the 27th. Like, these inconveniences are real. But in a lot of the same ways, this is how the miracle can be moved forward, right? That we all participate by tapping on our respective rocks. And the reality is, like, our faith is in an interesting moment because we can actually witness some of the most powerful realities of other people doing these small actions that help build our faith. You know, you can think about it, for many of us in this room, we didn't choose to be baptized. We were, you know, that decision was made for us by our parents. They brought us forth to the baptismal font to be baptized, right? That small little tap on the rock. Or as Paul says today, that we are justified by Christ. We are justified by this action of which we had no control. You know, that this sort of small, subtle revelations, Paul essentially says that we are justified on the actions of others. We have not been justified through our actions alone. I mean, think about it, that as each of us participates in the social distancing and sort of the safety precautions and taking care of ourselves, our health isn't necessarily at the center and the goal, right? I am not worried about my health. But if I were to get this virus, if I were to get sick, I could potentially pass that on to somebody else who couldn't handle that. Right, so in a sense that it's not even about my own physical health for why I'm doing this. You know, it's not about me and what I'm worried about, because I think I'm a healthy guy. I run. You know, I'd like to say I eat healthy, but that's not true. You know, but aside from everything else, right, there's this reality in which, you know, I'm not worried about me getting sick, but I am worried that if I can find ways to be healthy, if I can find ways in which I keep myself safe, then that helps protect other people, people I don't even know yet, right? In that sort of that great sense in which we are all connected together. I mean, for once, there's sort of this weird place for all of us or many of us to be in. That in a real tangible way, we can track the spread of a disease. We know what this means. We know what it means for us to participate in these small actions and how that might help prevent the spread of a larger pandemic. And so we come to the woman at the well, whom, you know, Jesus encounters. And so I think the question is, well, why us? Who are we that we need to enact in these small things? We're not Moses. We haven't been asked to tap on the rock. And this is where Jesus in his wonderful grace engages all of us. Because the person that he encounters at the well is not like the head of the community. In fact, she's probably the most outcast. Right? One does not go to a well in the hottest time of the day in order to fetch water. Normally that's done sort of early in the morning or in the afternoon when the temperature is cooler. But she is forced to go at this time because she's an outcast. She's on the outside. And it's this person that Jesus engages and shares this wonderful good news. In fact, in the longer version of this gospel reading, which is pretty long, we hear how well Jesus knows this woman. He knows her better than she knows himself. Let me try that again. Jesus knows her better than she knows herself. I don't have the virus, but I'm still making, you know, verbal mistakes. Right, so Jesus knows her so well that she suddenly becomes aware of what she's actually thirsting for. It isn't just water, but life-giving water. And in the same way, I don't think we're thirsting merely for the virus to be end, but that we can, as a community, survive and thrive through this. That we're thirsting for something even greater than just, you know, protecting ourselves. That we can see this as an opportunity to protect others, to reach out to others, to go beyond ourselves, to make this even larger. And what's great is she becomes the first successful disciple. Right, because she'll go out and she'll share, like, I found this guy who's giving life-giving water. And then the other Samaritans, right, and just for a brief second, to understand the dynamic here, right, that Jesus and the Samaritans, the Jews and the Samaritans at this time, are very similar to the Israelites of today, the Jews of today, and the Palestinian people. Right, they are enemies, like they're adversaries, they're at each other. And it's this person that Jesus goes to. It's this person who sort of asks Jesus, like, who do you think you are, the savior of all people? And Jesus goes, yes. Okay, that was a joke. It bombed earlier, too. I thought it was funny, but, scratch that out. The reality is that it's somebody who's an adversary to Jesus. Right, so this outcast, this adversary, this woman becomes one of the most successful disciples because she goes out and they say, even in today's reading, right, that they start believing because they've encountered the living word, not simply because of her testimony. But her testimony brought them there. It was her tap on the rock. And the fact of the matter is I'm happy that all of you are here because if you haven't heard, the bishop did dispense all of the lay faithful from their Sunday obligation. All right, good. Nobody got up and walked out being like, oh, I don't have to be here? Great. Right? Like, so I'm glad that you stayed. Because that shows that you are already, in your small way, tapping the rock. Of turning towards God, of being in community, even though there are some risks. I ask you to continue to pray for what is it that you are thirsting for? What is it that you are desiring in this time? Do you choose Christ? And in so doing, are you willing to tap on a rock again? Are you willing to do small actions so that we might be filled not with just regular water and hydration on a run, but with that life-giving water that gives life to all things. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so let us stand. And together let us recite the Apostles' Creed, which is found on the inside of your worship order. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And so now I invite those who are to be received into the Catholic Church at Easter time, those of you who might be here, to come forward at this time as we pray over you for these first scrutinies. So if you just want to come forward with your sponsor, if your sponsor is here. If not, we'll just get somebody to stand in for you. And why don't you stand up in the sanctuary area, please. So sponsors, I just invite you to put, yep, thank you. They're really good here. So I now invite you, the elect, to pray in a prayer of silence and bow your head and pray for a spirit of repentance. Let us pray for these elect whom the church has confidently chosen. May they successfully complete their preparation at the Paschal Feast, find Christ in the sacraments. And so we offer our prayers at this time.
Amen. Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
That they may ponder the word of God in their heart and savor its meaning more fully day by day.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
That they may humbly confess themselves to be sinners.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
That they may sincerely reject everything in their lives that is displeasing and contrary to Christ.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
That the Holy Spirit, who searches every heart, may help them to overcome their weaknesses.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
That the same Holy Spirit may teach them to know the things of God and how to please God.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
That throughout the whole world, whatever is weak may be strengthened, whatever is broken, restored, whatever is lost, found, and what is found, redeemed. We pray especially for peace and healing during our global pandemic.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
For all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, may they know the Lord's healing and take comfort in our prayers. We pray especially for William Faulkner, Steve Hughes, Greg Walsh, Nick Kitzhaber, Maureen Breckman, Jim Jeffers, and Chuck Freed.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
For those who have died, that they rejoice forever in the glory of God, we pray especially for Father Jonathan Hoshka, for whom this Mass is offered, Pat Williams, Ed Davini Johnson, and David Skog.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, enfold us in your mercy.
And now let us pray together the prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola, found on the inside of your order of worship.
Take
Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own, you have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do it what you will. Give me your love and your grace. That is enough for me.
I invite all of you to extend a gesture of blessing towards these electors and candidates as we pray. God of power, you sent your Son to be our Savior. Grant these elect, like the fig tree, may bear fruit. May they turn toward the Lord as they hear God's word and acknowledge their sins and weaknesses that weigh them down. Protect them from vain reliance on self and defend them from the power of Satan. Free them from the spirit of deceit so that admitting the wrong they have done, they may obtain purity of heart and advance on the way of salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. And so I invite the elects to return to their seat and to join us next week at the next scrutiny. And may the Lord remain with you always. And you all may have a seat, please.
Thank you.
Please stand and pray, my sisters and brothers, that this, my sacrifice and yours, may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May your merciful grace prepare your servants, O Lord, for the worthy celebration of these mysteries and lead them to it by a devout way of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For when he asked the Samaritan woman for water to drink, he had already created the gift of faith within her. And so ardently did he thirst for her faith that he kindled in her the fire of divine love. And so we too give you thanks, and with the angels praise your mighty deeds as we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember your church spread throughout the world. Bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, Bernard, our Bishop, and all the clergy, and all your people. Remember also, Lord, your servants who are to be present, who are to present these chosen ones at the font of rebirth. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, the blessed Apostles, St. Thomas More, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit,
All glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
And at the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We will not be exchanging a physical sign of peace. I invite you at this time to pray for those with whom you need to be reconciled, to pray for peace in our world and peace in our hearts. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Give help, O Lord, we pray, by grace of your redemption, and be pleased to protect and prepare those you are to initiate through the sacraments of eternal life. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
We're giving up a lot of things for Lent, but we're not giving up Father Warren's announcements, so we will have those. They'll be brief. You can stay standing. Update on a sponsor, a student. We're off to a good start. We've raised $23,000 towards our $81,000 goal. So that's a 28% of our goal, which is not bad since a lot of us are procrastinators and are putting off that. That's not too bad. So we have 19 donations ranging from $50 to a full scholarship plus fees of over $6,000. We're recruiting for the festival choir. We hope that we will have an Easter Sunday choir. So sign up just in case. You can sign up with Lucas or through the office for the festival choir. We want to have a beautiful Easter Sunday. Just a reminder that we have confessions and stations every Friday at 4:30, confessions, 5 o'clock stations. Also a reminder to women that we have two spring silent retreats for women coming up, one in April, one in May. And the one in April is going to be given by our own sister, Catherine Michaud. So hopefully you can do that. Hopefully they won't be canceled. And also, there's a workshop, and it may be postponed because of viral concerns and so on. But there's this Better Angels workshop, which is called Depolarizing America. You know how vindictive we can get with our politics, and so you're divided into red and blue. I made the workshop, and it was really a good experience. You do have to declare yourself red or blue, just like the primaries, although you don't have to. It won't be published, though, so that's a good thing. We won't tell your respective parties, but it's a really good experience. And, you know, if you're experiencing kind of tension maybe within your extended family or friends or network, I think it's really a good, helpful thing. This is way down the road, a presentation in the Women's Diaconate on April 30th. With Father Luke Hansen and Miss Casey Stanton, who's an MDiv, has an MDiv. So thank you, as Father RJ said, thanks so much for being here. Your presence is especially a big gift to us on these days. And it's nice that we don't have our full crowd, but we have a pretty good turnout. So that's nice to see. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest or a visitor, we particularly welcome you. And also, if you're not yet a registered member and would like to be, we have Karen and Tim is over there in our community corner, can sign you up. We won't be doing the meet and greet and donuts. No donuts. It kills me that we're not having donuts. But we're not having donuts because of all this, you know, all these concerns. But we are going to continue with our small group activities like Bible study and our retreat activities. So, and of course, if you chose not to come, that's up to you, but we're going to hold those activities. So thank you.
With one exception, for those confirmation students who are here and may not have heard, we will not be having confirmation after Mass, partially just as we try to work through social distancing and some of those things. We will not be having confirmation after Mass. If you did bring food, Father RJ will be happy to try to eat some of that for you.
Bring it to the sacristy.
but we will not be having confirmation. Please bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Direct, O Lord, we pray, the hearts of your faithful, and in your kindness grant your servants this grace, that abiding in love of you and their neighbor, they may fulfill the whole of your commands. We ask this through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. May the blessing of Almighty God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come down upon you and remain with you forever. Our Mass is ended. Let us go forth proclaiming the gospel with our lives.